Well, Bill Belichick, we haven't done this in a while, have we? In one of these blowout games like this. We haven't had to talk about it on a losing end for some time now.
No, yeah, this wasn't a great day today, Glenn.
No, I can imagine.
Pete, Fred, Steve.
How you guys? Coach.
How are you?
How are the movies today?
Well, we looked at everything. We tried to get it corrected, and we're moving on. So there were a number of things that we need to work on and talk about. But defensively, 9 plays, they got 250 yards. So it was a lot of big plays, and offensively, we missed some opportunities, especially in the red area and third down, and I thought we played pretty competitively in the kick game. Had a couple mistakes, but it was mainly on offense and defense where they really Dolphins handled us.
A couple times they looked like they had receivers running free. It looked like you had a cover two on. Obviously, that's not how you're supposed to cover it. Was it just a blown coverage? I'll get tripped up.
They had a couple times they had patterns that were kind of tough to cover against the particular look that we got, and there were other times that we could have. We could certainly coach it better, and then a couple times we just didn't do a good job on our coverage responsibilities, and so that was a problem. So it was a little bit of everything. There was some bad coaching. There was some playing that could have been better, and better blocking, better tackling, better fundamentals. So just all the way around, they did a better job than we did.
When you talk about the coaching aspect of it, obviously, that was a new formation that they threw in there after the Arizona game, so you hadn't seen that on film before.
Well, we hadn't seen that exact formation, but, for example, we worked on that last week against the Jets when they used Leon Washington to do that last year, and he threw a halfback pass on it, and he reversed on it and all that. So, it hasn't – granted, they haven't run it, but there's always going to be something in the game that, it's a little bit new, it's a little bit of a wrinkle. And that's football. We have to do a better job of adjusting to it and making sure that the players are prepared for whatever situations come up. And then when we see them, we've got to handle it better and quicker than we did yesterday. That's for sure. So, I think there's plenty of blame to go around. But the bottom line is everybody's got to do a better job.
So do you use this week of the bye week more to correct what happened this past week, or are you already looking towards what's going on next week? In 2 weeks.
I'd say both, Steve. I think we certainly want to spend some time on problems we've had in the first 3 games, figuring that there's a good chance they'll come up again. But also we need to move on and start, looking at what we're going to see next week. So I think it's a combination of both.
Now, their corners, every time he threw that quick out to Welker, their corners were right on top of him. Is there a chance in those, when the corner's biting like that and just pump and go, because they committed themselves already, right? They were anticipating that play, they're not anticipating the fake off of that, just to have the pump and go down the field. But that's obviously, there would be burned. Did that come up during the game?
We had a couple times that we were actually behind the defense, Fred, and then a little bit like last week where we got pressure and we weren't able to get the ball off. And so it was one of those deals where we just couldn't. Just didn't work out so that we could do that. Times that we had it, we couldn't get it to them. Other times, maybe we should have had it and we didn't. So, we had something else called. It would have been a good time to go deep but it just kind of hit the wrong way for us.
It looked like Thomas was wide open on one of those.
He was.
He's downfield. There was no one near him. I don't know if he saw him or he didn't run out of time on that one. Just didn't see him, right?
He got some pressure and then pulled the ball down and then ran. That was a play that Matt got stripped on. So, but that's a good example, right?
Fasano was open a couple of times, 24, I think, and 20 yards respectively, late in for under 5 minutes in the first quarter. But was that blown linebacker coverage or was that secondary man that's supposed to come up and help out? Or seemed like nobody was around.
Yeah. Well, one time on the third down play, we just missed the coverage. And we weren't all playing the same thing. One guy was playing one coverage, another guy was playing a different one. We got mixed up there, and then on the fake slip screen, we kind of got overplayed slip screen, got a little out of position on that, and he was open back inside on that play. So that was another kind of gadget deceptive play. It was well designed. We didn't play it as well as we need to, and so that was, like you said, 20-yard game.
Were they showing you anything defensively that was out of the norm or unfamiliar?
Well, they played a lot more coverage on Moss, mm-hmm. Deep coverage on Moss than they had shown, even than they showed last week against Arizona, against Fitzgerald and Bolden, who are, you know, pretty good receivers.
Right.
They played Randy, you know, with much more depth than they played in Arizona.
So was the because he was involved in the early on in the game, he was involved in the short passing game. Was that by design or by reaction to what you were seeing?
Well, when he's on one of those routes,
yep,
and then that becomes part of the quarterback's read because, you know, he's on a route against deeper coverage. But there were times when they rolled up to him and played some cover two, which is something they hadn't done a lot of. Although we anticipate that every week because mm-hmm. we've seen plenty of it. But they didn't blitz. They only blitzed two or three times in the whole game. But there was a lot of coverage over top of Randy.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you always talk about gimmick plays and. Reason teams don't run a lot of them, sometimes, you know, the people that aren't familiar with handle the ball, like with Brown, when a play like that comes in, you just basically play the same fundamentals and reads, and those things, it shouldn't be that much of a big deal.
Well, right, it shouldn't, but they executed the plays well. They weren't a little better. They just did a better job on it than we did. Give them credit, and we just... We've got to coach it better. We've got to play it better.
So the answer is, I was looking for, it's not so much the gimmick, it's so much not playing the fundamentals correctly.
Well, it could be, you know, a combination of both. There was one time when we were really out-leveraged on one play, the sweep to Williams. And there were other times where we kind of had enough people there or, you know, we missed a tackle or we didn't fit correctly on the run and play. And whether that was because of the look or... You know, just a mistake. I'm not sure. Maybe it's a combination of both.
If you had your choice, and it is what it is, a schedule, but if you had your choice, would you rather play this week and just try to flush it out of your system right away, or is it worse that you have to wait around for the bye week?
Well, I think there are certainly plenty of things that we can work on, and I think that'll do us good to spend some time going back over, you know, any problems we had in the first three games or working on something that we just need a little more time on, like the red area offense, like third down defense, things like that, and you know, to just put a little more time into San Francisco, which is a team that we haven't played in a while and we don't know very well. So I think the time is beneficial for us in a number of areas, and we'll try to just make the most of it.
Bill, has there been a change or an emphasis put on the quarterback in the grasp? It seems to me that was very, very quick yesterday, and yet I'm seeing that around the league right now. There seems to be an emphasis on protecting that quarterback and whistling it a lot quicker. Obviously, we remember the Super Bowl last year. They let it go for a little while before
what,
that.
What happened?
What happened? We'll get the tapes for you. Has there been a change or an emphasis on we got to protect the quarterback more, and so we're going to blow that whistle quicker? Has anybody told you that from the league?
No. We've gone by the rule. Just as there hasn't been any change in the rule, and if there's been a change in emphasis, that's been between the officials and the officiating department, not involving the other clubs.
But actually, Glenn, they don't do in the grass. Remember, it was in the grass right now? It's when he stops his forward motion, that's when they should stop, blow the whistle.
Well, the way the interpretation of the rule, as I understand it, is it's not so much in the grasp as it is when the official feels that there's another guy coming in, and then the quarterback's kind of in a defenseless position. One guy's got him, and the other guy's going to come in there and, you know, have a pretty much of a free shot. And that's, I think, the situation where they really want to blow it. Just being in the grass by itself, like, for example, the play last week at the Jets where Thomas had Favre in the grasp for, I don't know, 2-3 seconds, mm-hmm. whatever it was, wasn't really an in-the-grass situation because there was nobody else there. There wasn't somebody else coming in to, you know, to get a clean shot on him. So
there's no
that's my understanding of the rule. You know, Adelis could have spun around six times and they would have never called in the grass. So it's once the official thinks there's a second guy coming. Not really sure what they saw on that one yesterday, but in any case, that's the rule.
So there wasn't anyone else coming around Matt. It just looked like they thought he was going down.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what what Corollo
saw. I'll interpret it later. When...
Yeah, okay.
You've been in games before where things have just snowballed and it seems like nothing you can do to stop it. What does it take in that situation to turn the tide, specifically offensively or defensively?
Well, I think offensively yesterday, Steve, we really, you know, we missed a couple opportunities in the red area and you know, had the one turnover on the screen pass.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we had good field position. We moved the ball. Castle was 15 out of 20. We certainly would have liked to have had more points, but I didn't feel like the game was getting away from us on offense.
Right.
And we played very competitively in the kicking game. Defensively, had we been able to, you know, make a couple stops anywhere along the line and, you know, hold them to a couple field goals or get a turnover or something, and, you know, instead of it being 21-6 or then 28-6, you know, they'd mm-hmm. been half that, then, you know, it's a one-score game or maybe it's a two-score game. We get the kickoff return, and, you know, it's a different deal. So I think the big thing is, you know, defensively, we not only gave up some big plays, we gave up touchdowns, and you know, when they got 35 points in the third quarter, that's not good.
Did you say there was...
And what did it take to turn it around? I mean, we need to stop them. And offensively, we need to take advantage of our, you know, of our trips into the red area and close to the goal line, or alternatively, you know, come up with a big play, something that covers 40 or 50 yards, and you know, have that kind of an opportunity to score.
Well, so do you find yourself?
We didn't have any of those.
Do you find yourself as a coach maybe reaching and trying to make something happen with the play calling or the defense, or maybe on defense? Do you find yourself in that situation saying, "We got to find a way to make this stop one way or the other"?
Right. Well, I you know, my philosophy defensively has always been in those kind of situations, Steve, is to just go back to playing something that you know how to play and mm-hmm. play it well. I think that sometimes there's a tendency as a coach to kind of grab for a call and hope to stop a team with a certain call. And then there's also sometimes a tendency by the players to guess at the play and try to stop the play by just playing that one play. And then if it happens to be anything else, then, you know, it's a bad play or it's a bad call. So I think we're, you know, for the most part, better off just playing the defenses that we know how to play and play them well.
You know, Coach, you talked about earlier, it's not only a few plays that was, you know, some games it's two or three plays that kills you, some games it's five or six. Nine plays, there was how much yardage?
It was about 250.
250 in nine plays. You know, one missed tackle or one missed assignment, and you stuffed one of those. But that's how a blowout becomes a competitive game. You take four of those plays away, and that's how close it can be.
Right. Well, I mean, I thought defensively there were a number of plays that we, you know, played pretty well. And Pennington made a couple of good throws on the sideline where we were, you know, real close to the coverage, but we couldn't quite make the play. But, you know, we're there. But, you know, I mean, the nine, the big plays, they count too. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Miami. They made those plays and we didn't, so they certainly count. But there were, you know, a decent number of plays that, you know, I thought we did a pretty good job on. But the ones that we didn't make, you know, killed us. So that's, you know, when they score 38 points, you know, those plays so override the ones that were competitive that it's just you can't win playing like
How
that.
How good's Jake Long?
He's pretty good. He's a good player.
Well, this put this game because they were up, they didn't have to pass and they can run more, which is more into suits him.
Well, I mean, I think that's probably true for any rookie tackle, but I think Jake Long's a good pass blocking tackle from his first game against Gaines Adams against Tampa, and all the way through, he's. Yeah, he's given up a couple pressures here and there, but overall, I think he's blocked well. He's done a good job, and he's, you know, one of the better left tackles that we'll face. I think he's different but similar to Joe Thomas when we saw him as a rookie at Cleveland. You know, that kind of quality of a player. He's a good run blocker. He's physical. He can certainly hold his own out there. He's going to get better, and you know, and he's a big man. He's a hard guy to get around, and he's a good technique player. He doesn't have. I'll say this, he gets beat like every offensive lineman does, but he doesn't have a lot of bad plays. He's got, you know, a couple that, hey, they could be a little bit better, but there aren't very many bad ones.
Maybe it wouldn't have made a difference yesterday, but nobody's talked about it really at all, but how big a factor was that Lawrence Maroney didn't get a chance to play in that game?
Well, we would love to have had Lawrence. I don't know that he would have, It would have changed the outcome of the Ronnie Brown runs or the Pennington passes.
But I mean, just another dimension on offense that, you know.
Yeah. Well,
it wasn't there.
No, it wasn't. But that's, again, that's football. Unfortunately, hardly any team has all their players every week. And so, but I thought our backs ran hard. I didn't think that was, a big problem. Sammy had a good run. Lamont ran hard. You know, Kevin was Kevin. And Heath, in his role, was solid. So we just have to make some. We get down in the scoring area, in the scoring zone. We got to get the ball in the end zone more than we've been doing it. We got to play better defense against the run and better defense on third down, and block and tackle and throw and catch and better.
That's it.
Bill, Charlie Casserly on his. On the TV, a CBS TV yesterday, was brought out a video, and they were showing plays in which, in Casserly's opinion, Randy Moss was taking plays off. There was a play that we were talking about earlier here today, early in the third quarter, where the ball was thrown to Moss, and he seemed to have his hands down by his side. Now, I don't know if he could make that catch or not, but it did give the impression, just looking at it, as if he did not make that exerted effort to make that catch. What went on in that play?
One of the plays where Miami blitzed. We had a route adjustment. I'm not sure if Randy really saw the ball. The play just didn't come off the way it should have. The timing and the route and everything. And so I think that we just didn't, we just didn't have it timed out the way that we wanted to or that it should have been. I think the ball kind of got on him before he really, saw what was happening.
So you didn't think he was giving up on it, or?
Well, Randy's been one of our most consistent players since the day he got here last year. Practice games, long routes, short routes, running game, you name it. He's been very consistent for us, and as far as his play, I think he's played at a good, consistent level. Are there plays everybody would like to do a little bit better? Of course, we all have those. So. I'm not saying anybody's perfect or that you can't find a play where a player didn't make a mistake or could have played it better, but he's been a very consistent player for us.
There's one that Gaffney ducked down on. Did he think that the ball was supposed to be caught the guy behind him? Remember his crossing, the ball came at him. In the last instance, he kind of ducked like he thought the guy behind
him. Yeah, that was another one that it was a kind of a quick snap play. I'm not sure that he was – I'm not sure that he saw the thing the whole way, whether, he thought that was coming to him. Because we did have another guy, we had Thomas coming behind him. So.
You just don't see him duck.
I can't tell you exactly what he saw on that play, but I don't think that was another play that didn't really get timed out or get executed the way that we'd like for it to.
You see Matt making improvements as far as reads. Like, you start out pretty well. Are they squatting on a lot of stuff and trying to prevent the short, because unlike I said, those short passes, they're jumping them real quick. Is that something?
Well, we're seeing some of that. Yeah, right. We're seeing some of that. In order to really have a good, efficient passing game, you need to be able to pass protect and then run the routes and attack the defense at all three levels, short, intermediate, and deep. And so until all those things come into play, then, your passing game is really not going to be as efficient as you want it to. Protection, short, intermediate, and deep routes, throws, catches, and execution on those. So it's really a team, execution, situation. It's the plays that are called, and it's the team's execution of those plays. So there were times where protection was good, and we got the ball out and completed it, and had good, solid plays. There are other times where the protection wasn't as good. There were other times where the routes and the throws and the catches weren't quite what they need to be. And so, getting all that done and getting done efficiently is an area that we're still, not quite where we want to be on. There's some good ones, and then there's other ones that could be better.
There weren't a lot of attempts to throw the ball down the field. Is that strictly because of the way Miami was set up on defense?
No, again, Pete, I think it's a combination of things that there were attempts, and there were times where we had guys down there. Sometimes we weren't able to hang on to the ball long enough, and other times their coverage was deep, and I don't think you want to be throwing it down there when they're 10 yards deeper than you are, and so you really need to throw the ball underneath, and we need to hit a few more of those. But you know, again, we hit most of those in the first half, and in the second half, you know, the game got out of hand a little bit, and so the pass rush was better, and you know, sometimes we had time to throw, and other times we, you know, didn't have as much of a chance for the pattern to develop. You know, the one pass we, you know, might have had a shot on to Randy, you know, Matt got hit just as he threw the ball, went straight up in the air. So, you know, there's a little bit of that, mm-hmm. too.
This team has always been good at being able to put games behind in the rearview mirror, even performances where they've blown teams out. Do you have a good feel about this team and when they finally play another football game here in another almost 2 weeks now in San Francisco?
Sure. Well, I feel like when we play San Francisco, this game will be well behind us, as it should be, regardless of how it had turned out. But we need to move on and move ahead, and we can't let one game affect the next game. We need to learn from the corrections in this one and move on. And that's what we're going to try to do. That's what I would expect us to do.
That's what Bruschi said the same thing as
we got to forget
the big wins so you're not too high, and you got to forget the big losses so you're not too low. I mean, it's all about being on an even keel when you're playing football, because it doesn't matter when you go into the next game.
Right. There's no points up there on the board left over from this game one way or the other. So
thank goodness.
What do you do for the week now, the bye week? Do you give the guys some time off?
We'll work through Thursday, and I'll give the players the weekend off. And then we'll come back Monday.
I told you he was going to give them the weekend off.
You said a whole week off.
You said 2 weeks.
No, I didn't. I said the weekend off. These guys thought you were going to play these guys
16 weeks paid vacation, Glenn Woodley. 16 weeks paid vacation.
Let them go. But we'll take Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, pretty much like a normal week, and then start back up again on Monday, a week from today.
I did hear a few of the players after the game yesterday and today say they wanted it more than we did. I mean, obviously, I don't think you have any debate with that. But are they questioning the effort, their own effort, do you think?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to them about that.
Do you have any question about their effort at all?
Well, I'd say the major – well, we had some mistakes in the game at every level. You know, I made them. Assistant coaches made them. Players made them. There were things that could have been better and need to be better. We all need to do a better job, so – I would say there were a few plays where things didn't come out the way we wanted them to for a combination of reasons. And those plays, you know, were big plays in the game. And then as the game got away from us, then it became a one-dimensional game, and we weren't really able to handle that offensively. And, you know, defensively, the damage had been done. And so...
When you say you made a mistake, because a lot of fans always ask, and I'm always curious myself, can you give us like just a little example what you think a mistake that you made, particularly in one particular
coming down
play?
To the show?
Well, besides that.
Pete's never made a mistake.
No, plenty of them. I'm just saying, because that's a common question I get from a lot of fans and friends. Occasionally you have said mm-hmm. that, and they always like to say, well, can you give us an example of what he thinks might have been a mistake that he made?
Well, when you're the head coach and your team goes out there and gets beat 38-13 or whatever it was, and that was a score at the end of three quarters, early in the fourth quarter, it's hard to feel like, well, I did a great job yesterday.
Yeah, but is it the play you so called or then, is it the execution that
well,
wasn't?
Well, everything, yeah. You know, everything.
Preparation if, you know, during the yeah, week and all that stuff.
You know, should we have spent more time on some gadget plays? Should we have spent more time on... the gadget formations, we spent time on some things that they didn't do as much of. But again, that's always going to be the case. You know, should we have, talked more about, you know, certain plays, or should we have, you know, looking back on it, should we have had this defense in or that defense in? Because that would have been a good thing to have as it turned out in some of the things that they did. But, you know, we didn't want to waste time on defenses where we didn't think we would be able to use those. So, different calls, you know, should we have not been in a split safety coverage on the, you know, the pass down the middle mm-hmm. to Camarillo? Should we have been, you know, so, yeah, you second guess a lot of that stuff.
I know you talked a lot last week about the Carolina offense and Dan Henning. And is it more difficult early in the season with teams that have gone through coaching changes and a lot of personnel changes early on in the season? Is it more difficult to prepare for them?
I think in the end, Glenn, I think it still really gets back down to how well you execute what you're doing. I mean, anybody can draw up a bunch of plays and run triple reverses and, you know, 9-foot line splits and all that. But then can you actually go out there and do it? And I think the big thing yesterday was that the Miami Dolphins did things out there on the football field, you know, better than we did. So it was a combination of, you know, better coaching, better preparation, better playing, better blocking, better tackling, better throwing, better catching, better coverage. They just did some things in the game better than we did. And if they had called different plays and done them just as well, it might have been the same result. And if we had called different plays and not done them any better than we did the ones we called, it probably would have been the same result. So, you know, you've got to go out there and be able to block the guy that you're supposed to block. You got to be able to go out there and defend the guy that you're covering, or, you know, throw and catch a pass. You got to be able to execute those plays, and that's really what it comes down to. And that's why we've won a lot of games around here, is because the players have gone out there and done that. And yesterday wasn't our best day, and certainly a big part of that's my responsibility. And I'm sure the players are disappointed in the way that overall that they played yesterday too. So, you know, there was a team loss. You know, there was no one thing or one play or one call or one block or one missed tackle. I mean, we got beat by a better football team yesterday, and that's from top to bottom.
All right, it's time for our cleanenergyaction.net coach's question of the week. This question is from Jeff Brown of Foxborough. Coach Jeff asks, every year brings new or changes in rules in the NFL. Over the past 10 years, what do you feel is the most significant rule change in terms of how the game is played?
Oh, well, that was a little curveball right there at the end, because the most significant rule I would have said is the instant replay and how the game is played. Well, I guess I would say that I think the one rule that really affects the game is the two-point conversion, and it changes the strategy, not just the Denver-San Diego play, whether to go for two to win the game, but, you know, all along the way, when to go for two, you know, in the fourth quarter. Sometimes teams go for it earlier in the game, and, you know, then did they go for it too soon or not? So I think there's a lot of strategy there that wasn't there when you just kicked the extra point.
Do you like that change?
Well, we've had it both ways. It adds a dimension to the game that you didn't have before. Whether that's, you know, I think it's exciting. It's good for the fans. It probably, you know, the fact that a 16-point game is potentially a 2-score game instead of it has to be a 3-score game, it just, you know, keeps it in a more competitive balance. I mean, you still got to make those. You still got to score and get the 2-point conversion, but at least there's the potential for it, and that's so. You know, I think that's changed the game in terms of strategy, which then changes it in terms of some of the plays that you run in certain situations.
All right, every Patriots Monday this year when we talk with a coach, you'll have a chance to submit your question at WEEI.com's football page. And if your question is chosen, you'll automatically win a $100 gift card to the all-new Davios right here at Patriot Place. The coach's question is powered all season long by CleanEnergyAction.net. And when you log on to CleanEnergyAction.net, you'll find that a strong wind can do a lot more than push that winning field goal through the uprights.
Ain't going to move you.
Special teams wasn't the problem yesterday. Kicking was great. The
really good.
Great field position yesterday. That was the one thing I guess you could look at that was positive yesterday, right?
We did have good field position yesterday.
Yeah. Sure did.
What's the coach get for answering that stupid question?
We'll set him over to Davio's. We'll set him up over there.
You get an $8.95 gift certificate.
Why was it a stupid question?
Do that.
I just thought it was stupid.
Can I have dinner for two instead of the $100 gift certificate?
That's $1,200.
We can take care of that. That might be better. You missed it. They served lunch over here earlier.
Glenn always eats for two.
All right, Coach, we'll see you back here Monday, and then we'll start looking forward to San Francisco.
All right, sounds good.
Good luck,
all right, Pete. All right, Fred, Steve, thank you.